Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us here on this fabulous Wednesday. Sounds like there's going to be a lot of rain in the forecast. And time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Kansas taking on Baylor wearing those ugly lime green uniforms.
Mason with the ball. 40 seconds to play. 10 on the shot clock. KU by three. Here's Graham. Graham to Mason. Back to Graham. Graham over to Seldon. Seldon driving, shooting, and
got
scoring!
It.
He got it! Used time the, running out.
Used the whole clock. Got all the way to the rim.
That's right. KU wins again last night. Play really well down the stretch. Wayne Seldon, a big reason why. Courtesy of the Jayhawk IMG Radio Network. Kevin's still stewing. You hate money.
I just hate that to be the reason for everything. That's all.
Well, don't owners have the right to make money?
I guess you have to look at it. If okay. you said this okay. earlier, do you buy okay. a team to make okay. money or what?
Make money or what? Okay, why do you think Roger owns the radio station? Roger is absolutely entitled to make money. He's the one that put the risk in,
and I'm hoping he does.
No, but I'm saying though, he's the one that puts the risk in. He's the one that pays the bills. He needs the revenue to pay the bills. All right, now it's our job to work hard to help him pay the bills and make this a profitable enterprise. That's our job. Well, that's the any owner of any team, any business is the same way. You're trying to keep yourself above water to do the best. Now, for some of these teams, obviously, they're owned by ultra-rich owners, and for them, it's a three-year tax write-off.
That's what I was just going to say. It's all about the write-off there for them, though.
Yeah, but that's only lasts, I think, what, 3 years? Then after that, you got to start making some coin somewhere.
I mean, how long has it been since the Clippers made, the Clippers just started making money recently?
The Clippers are making a lot of money right now because the NBA TV contract is $2.6 billion per year. Everybody is now getting a really healthy slice of change from the TV contract. And again, that goes back to getting into the playoffs. These owners will tell you if you can somehow get in as an 8 seed, your opportunity to now balance the books becomes greater. And that is what it's about. Now, are they overpaying for salaries? We can argue that. But again, what the competition is doing, you know, I'm going to end up out of the playoffs. I don't compete to get some of the better players. So it's a vicious circle. But the purpose of the players is that they want to have their careers and make money. The purpose of the front office is they want to do well and they want to make money and be paid. And the owner puts the risk in and they want a return so that they're making money out of the proposition. In college, you want the money because you have to have all these other programs. You have to have them. There are standards. I think you must have a minimum, I think, of 14 sports at Division I. Penn State has 31. Ohio State has 34. I think Northwestern has 18 or 19. They're private, though. They're not public. But how do you pay for this? Let's see. Nittany Lion Club donations. Football tickets. Basketball tickets. Volleyball. Hockey. Wrestling tickets. You know, women's basketball. You know, and you sell tickets for everything. I mean, now you have to buy a ticket for field hockey, so ticket sales. Then there's the radio contract. The radio contract is for football and men's basketball, essentially, here. There's your radio contract. And then there's the TV deal, which is the one that puts you over the top, which, by the way, is carrying every football game and carrying every basketball game? And why are they carrying every football game and every basketball game? Because the ratings tell them that that's what people watch. So that's the circle. It's a circle you hate. You actually went on the air and you told our owner he didn't deserve to make money.
I don't think I said that. I said I hope he makes money. I encourage him to make money. I do everything he can to have him make money.
That's the, while a nice recovery on your part, it wasn't until I caught you that you went in that direction.
I think you were just misinterpreting my comment.
No, that's one thing about great about this. We have saves. All right, let's bring in Bryson Ryan Rosenthal.
Thank
from
you.
The Lincoln Journal Star. And Brian was telling me off the air that he thinks it's very important for the publisher of the Lincoln Journal Star to make money, which I thought was really big of him. Brian, Siobhan Shields has missed the last four games after that horrific fall against Rutgers. My understanding is that in all likelihood, he probably will travel to State College, but will he play?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. We'll find out later on this afternoon. Tim Miles will have availability, and you know how coaches can be. They can play it close to the vest. But I think the plan all along has been, because Nebraska had a few extra days before this game, is to try to get him ready for this one. I know that's Siobhan's goal. Obviously, he's got to get cleared by doctors and trainers and his family, the whole bit, and make sure he hasn't had any setbacks or any of those things. You know, we can't watch practice or anything, so I don't know how he's done today or yesterday. He went through some of Monday's practice, evidently defined with no setbacks. So it's kind of a wait-and-see situation. I do think he'll travel, yes, and I kind of think he'll suit up and maybe see a few minutes. I don't know that he can make a 30 to 35-minute contribution right out of the gate, but I think for Nebraska, merely if he can suit up and get out there for a few minutes, I think it'll be a big spirit booster. And then hopefully by senior night next week on Tuesday, Nebraska plays Purdue at home, their final home game, that he can do more things by then.
Absolutely. Ed Murrow has also been out because of a foot problem. He hasn't played the last four games either. Have they talked about his status other than the fact that if needed, he'd be available?
Yeah, it's kind of a weird deal. You know, he had off-season foot surgery, and then he had some plantar fasciitis issues in that foot. And then, I don't know this, I just surmised that, maybe because he ended up favoring his other foot so much, now it's his other foot that's caused the issues. But we haven't heard an official diagnosis of what those issues are. You keep hearing or reading plantar fasciitis, but that's in the other foot, and that's not a problem right now. It's something else in his other foot. So if you read plantar fasciitis, that's not what the deal is, to my knowledge, in this other foot. That's probably one thing you want to know right now. But point being is he's out, and we don't know when he's back. And it's interesting because you'll see him in warm-ups, and he's dunking and doing things, and people are like, if he can do that, why can't he play? Good question. Don't know the answer, but we'll have to wait and see.
Well, it's one thing to go run a straight line and do it. It's another thing to cut. So you're in a layup line and dunk line. He's running straight ahead. Glenn Watson, of all the players I watched when I did the game out there 10 days ago, he's the guy I looked at and said, wow, you know what? I really liked how he played. I know White had the 35, but Watson's the guy I thought that kind of stirred the drink. What kind of development have you seen in him as a point guard?
He's Nebraska's best point guard since Teron Wu in the late 90s, in my opinion. He can make passes, he can see the court, and he's got a pull-up jumper, a mid-range jumper that you just don't see not only in point guards but in general nowadays. I mean, he can light it up. Now, the past couple of games, he's looked tired. He's been a little bit short in his jumper. His issues right now are on the defensive end. Newsflash, freshmen in this league struggle on the defensive end, and he's a slight build, so he gets bullied on that end, fighting through screens and whatnot. So that's been an issue for him on the defensive end. Offensively, he doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, he's got an excellent assist-to-turnover ratio, can be one of the best Nebraska's had in quite a while. So he can definitely run the offense, and, he's had his issues there too, but overall he's been all that expected they expect even more as a top 100 recruit that, for whatever reason, John Gross at Illinois, right in his backyard, didn't show any interest in or much interest in.
Andrew White, the third, transferred in from Kansas. He had a sit out last year. Now he's playing, and of course, against Penn State, he was unbelievable with 35 points. Obviously, he hasn't had those kind of games all the way through, but he's still averaging 17 a game. What have you liked about his game, and where does he need to be better, Brian?
He's been a great leader on the court, especially with Siobhan Shields out. Andrew White, you know, I've been at the Journal Star for 15 years now with football and basketball, and he's, I don't think I'm overstating this when I say he's the nicest, most overall, complete person, athlete, player, human being that I've been around as a Nebraska athlete. I mean, the guy, he's a special kid. He really is. And he's unselfish to a fault. And that's what you saw, I think, in that Penn State game, is that with Siobhan out, you know, I think he deferred to Siobhan a lot. And then with him out, you know, coaches wanted him to take control, which they'd like him to do anyway, because obviously he can. And I know that they really challenged him before that game, and that's why you saw that. You know, he's also struggled some on the defensive end, but he can, he's one of those guys that when you see the ball in the air, you think it's going in. Now, it didn't against Ohio State. He was 3-17. I've never seen that out of that guy. So, you know, he's been battling a little bit of an illness, but, you know, who doesn't battle that stuff this time of year? That's no excuse or anything. So,
right.
But to answer your question, I think probably on defensive end, he probably needs to maybe step it up. But he finds other ways. He's a great rebounder. I have to look at the staff, but I think he leads Nebraska in rebounding too, which isn't a great surprise given Nebraska's overall lack of height. But he's been a special player for Nebraska, a special player to be around.
I think this has been Ty Webster's best year to this stage. What do you like about how he has played his senior year?
Yeah, he's kind of become the third scorer, and it just took him forever, I think, to, you know, he came here with such hype and high expectations, and Fran Fraschilla, you know, the big international guru for ESPN, saying him coming from New Zealand, that if he were a high school kid here, he'd be a top 20 kid or whatever, and it was just unwieldy, lofty expectations. And then you have, obviously, the transition from international New Zealand ball to Big Ten basketball. I mean, it's not a big difference. I just think it took a long time for him to adjust and to meet those expectations. But he's become a good scorer. He's confident going to the rim. He's improved defensively. And he's been more consistent. I think he's, with that confidence, he's become more consistent in his game.
What kind of program is Tim Miles building? I mean, he went through, obviously, with the transfers, Petaway, Pritchard, guys like that. What do you see now for the future of Nebraska basketball as it's settled into the Big Ten? I know they have a really nice transfer from Louisville. What do you think?
I think that if, you know, the Naders around here are a little bit restless because of last year, and they're not pressing as much as what some thought this year. The issue with him, and it's really weird because, you know, the first year doesn't count. He had, what, 7 scholarship players, won 13 games, overexceeded, et cetera. And then he had the breakthrough season his next season. And then it's like if last year and his second year would have been reversed, everything would be going in order,
right,
and things would be going great. But he got hot too quick and I think raised the bar too high for people, seeing what he could do, you know, with Petaway and Pitchford and those guys in that second year. And, you know, they had for whatever reason, the big, big, big downfall last year. And so people are like wondering, well, what the heck's going on? But because of that 2014 year, he was able to attract recruits like Glenn Watson, Ed Morrow, a transfer in Andrew White, a transfer in Andrew Gill, Anton Gill. You know, he'll have as many as 4 or 5 top 100 recruits on his roster next year. That's been unheard of at Nebraska, and that's because of that 2014 season. Yeah, the next season didn't go like people thought, but you're seeing a level of recruits that even though they're lacking a big man, it's overall more talented in recruiting services and the eye test than you've seen in Nebraska in decades. But if you say that we're patients to Nebraska basketball fan one more time, they might strangle you. That's the issue right now. So I think he's on the right track. The guy got a 7-year contract from the get-go for a reason. It's hard to win here. It's hard to attract top-level recruits. He's done the latter, and now it's time to do it's time to win. And hopefully next year they can do a little bit more of that.
Yeah, we sensed at the end of last year in Chicago when Penn State played Nebraska, Dick Girardi and I said he doesn't like his team. We looked at him this time, what with his team this time, we could tell he loves these kids. I mean, you just get that sense. He didn't like last year's group very much. This group he likes a lot.
Oh, yeah, there's a totally different vibe around. I mean, you can tell that these guys want to keep playing. They want some sort of postseason, whether that's, you know, out on the playground, the NIT, the CBI, the Vegas 16, you know, whatever. They want to keep playing. Last year's group was done. I mean, for whatever reason, I mean, a zillion reasons. There's no reason to rehash all of those now, but they like each other. They want to be around each other. I don't sense them ready for the season to be done or anything like that. So and Penn likes them. They like each other. They've had some really tough losses, specifically at home. I mean, they've lost overtime to Maryland at home, lost to Miami in overtime at home. Couple those go the other way, you have an entirely different outlook on the season. Sure. But that's a young team, so that's how those things happen.
It's now been 4 years for Nebraska in the Big Ten. You cover both football and basketball. So what's your impression of all of this? Are people still pining for the days of the Big 12? Has the Big Ten been completely accepted there? What is the overall vibe 4 years later?
If there's any pining, it's for the Big 8, not the Big 12.
Right, they didn't like the Texas part of it.
Exactly. Well, from a geographical standpoint, too, not just because of the University of Texas, but, Nebraska's going to have a basketball series with Kansas starting next year, and people are just, like, eating that up, and, you know, why can't they play K-State? I mean, from a travel standpoint, you had four teams that you could drive there and back in one day. I mean, wake up in the morning, go to the game, come home at night. And it's obviously not that way in the Big Ten. So that's been an adjustment for fans. I think it's an overall better fit academically, athletically. I think people have accepted it or have adjusted to it. Yeah, there's some pining, but I don't think it's necessarily because of the conference. It's just, you know, just some of the rivalries, some of the old teams you play. I think people like to see that. But as far as, like, how the Big Ten is operated, the way they do things, I think people have accepted it and really enjoyed it.
Has there been any sense of a rivalry developing with anybody this early?
Maybe Iowa. I don't know.
Yeah,
the geographical thing. You know, Nebraska in the Big Eight. Obviously, it was. And I always say the Big Eight because I don't like to refer to that other conference.
Right.
Obviously, it was always Oklahoma, and then the other conference took that away from Nebraska.
Right, yeah, because they put them in different divisions, and you start rotating out when you're in different divisions. And I've made that point here many times. I said you could kill rivalries either by changing a conference or doing what the Big 12 did.
and in basketball, that's what I don't like about the Big Ten is you've got Indiana and Purdue playing once. You've got Nebraska plays all of its border schools in basketball, not border schools, but the closest schools.
Yeah.
They play Iowa once. They play Minnesota once. They play Illinois once.
And you're home and away with the fighting Knits.
you're home and away with Rutgers. Yeah. You're home and away with Penn State. I understand the balance and imbalance schedule and what the Big Ten wants to do, but at some point you've got to realize what's good for you. And seeing Indiana and Purdue play twice is good for you. Seeing Michigan and Michigan State play twice is good for you. Seeing Wisconsin's the other team. Nebraska only plays once this year. I think Wisconsin's as much of a natural rivalry as Nebraska as anything. The two schools have a lot of ties in terms of personnel, similar cultures and backgrounds. I think that's as big of a rivalry in any sport as anything in the Big Ten that Nebraska might have.
If they were to expand the schedule by one game to 19 and decide to do divisions, now the SEC did it, didn't work very well, so I'll start with that. but you played the other six teams in your division home and away, and you play the other seven on the other side once. Would that make it more palatable for fans?
I think it could, depending on how you do the divisions.
Right.
And they talk about balance and imbalance, but you know, there's going to be years that, you know, look at Illinois this year. I don't know that Illinois is going to always be down, or Minnesota is always going to be down. I don't know that Purdue is always going to be this good. I mean, it's going to change a lot. You don't know year to year.
Right.
I mean, you can think that certain teams are going to be what they are, and that could be true to an extent, but, you know, Michigan State's always going to be good. But, you know, Ohio State's kind of down this year. Look at their schedule. I mean, they're 10-6, 10-5, and they've beaten one team with above 500 record, but they've got 10 conference wins. So, you can't always predict these things when you're trying to do the schedule balance. So, I think fans would like that. I think it'd be all right.
Brian, absolute pleasure. Appreciate it as always. Great perspective.
Yep. Thanks, guys, for having me.
Brian Rosenthal, Lincoln Journal Star. We avoided the subject of money. I thought you'd appreciate that, Kev.
That was nice of you. I appreciate that, yeah.
Coming up, we'll have our sports bozo of the day.
And it's not me.
No, it's not, as a matter of fact.
I think I know who this one's going to be.
And then Kevin is going to talk about how you can spend your money on a brand new car.
Now that's money well spent.
Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Presidents Washington and Lincoln could have never imagined that their day would mean one thing. Huge deals at Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is celebrating President's Day now through the end of the month with their annual President's Day sales event. Choose from over 400 new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs with savings up to 11 grand. Pick from over 50 of the stylish 2016 Ford Fusion and take $3,000 off. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 72 months. And they start as low as $19,765. SMC has 75 of the top-selling 2016 Ford Escape with savings of $2,750. Plus, get 0% financing for up to 6 years. And they're priced from just $20,490. Last year, Sunbury Motors was one of the top-selling F-150 dealers in the entire Harrisburg and Philadelphia region. And they're loaded up with over 100 Ford trucks in stock with savings up to 11 grand. See for yourself why more people are heading to Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly serving all of Central Pennsylvania since 1915.
When Woodrow Wilson was in the White House.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is driving another great Sunbury Motors vehicle this week.
A 2016 Ford Fusion. Getting about 27 miles to the gallon just back and forth to work, but highway mileage is a little bit higher. You sit inside this vehicle, and you can adjust the seat because it is a power seat. So you have multiple positions you can put this seat in. But the whole console and everything about the car kind of wraps around you. So you do feel like you're in a little bit of a stock car just by the feel of the way the car just molds around you. Not to mention the fact that it's available with a sunroof and a lot of great features, including the big 8-inch display and rear backup camera, as well as the dual controls for heating and air conditioning. So if you're like me and you like things a little cooler, and then my wife on the other side likes things a little warmer, you can actually adjust the settings individually. That's just some of the many great features on the 2016 Ford Fusion that is also pretty fun to drive, too. And right now, $4,000 off the price with rebates and the SMC discount. Don't settle for just a couple of thousand. How about $4,000? And if you'd like the special financing during the President's Day sales event going on now through the end of the month, you'll get $3,000 off the price plus 0% interest for 72 months. You know, with that $4,000 off, Steve, you can get a brand new 16 Fusion for under $20,000 at Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury.
And don't forget about Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right, sports bozos. It's the fight between the Ricketts family and Donald J. Trump. Earlier this week, the
Republican frontrunner said, I hear the Ricketts family, who own the Chicago Cubs, are secretly spending money against me. They better be careful. They have a lot to hide. Okay. So, Tom Ricketts responded today in Mesa, Arizona, home of Cubs spring training. And in the warm sunshine, he said today, it's a little surreal when Donald Trump threatens your mom. The fact is, whether it's my mom or my dad on his ending spending stuff, or my sister on marriage equality issues, or my brothers and what they want to do with the team, we're pretty much an open book. We stand up for what we believe in. We support the causes we think are important. That is what America should be. That is who we are. As you can see, Ricketts mentioned the ending spending super PAC, which is run by Joe Ricketts, his father, and Todd, his brother. Further, as CBS Chicago reports, Joe and Marlene, Joe's wife, Tom's mother, contributed $3 million to our principals PAC, which is an anti-Trump group. He said, quote, if we have something to hide, you people would have found it by now. Oh, my goodness. Where do we find all these people? Every day it's something. Every day. All right. We welcome everyone back. Great to have you with us. Final half hour, 800-795-9565. 800-795-9565 is the number. Kevin is anti-money. He doesn't want people making it.
No, I want to make it. I don't want other people to make it. Actually, let me rephrase that. I have a friend of mine that says, you don't make money. You earn it. Only the feds make money.
I see. So you don't want ownership to earn money. You don't want athletic departments to earn money because it doesn't fit your concept of what
sports,
postseason should be.
Right.
Okay.
Listen, cover your expenses. I'm all for that. I'm all for cover your expenses.
But you shouldn't have to just cover your... First of all, it's your business. Okay, number one, it's your business.
Well, now, so pro and college are two different animals now.
But it's your business. You should be entitled to run your... If people reject your business model, then you don't make money. Fair enough?
I think that's a fair case.
If people reject your business, you don't earn money. You don't get it. So, if expanding the playoffs was a bad idea, why haven't the fans rejected it? Why haven't the TV networks rejected it?
Well, I think in some sports they have, Steve.
What sports have they rejected it?
I'd like to see, have the NBA playoff numbers gone up or are they stagnant?
The TV contract's $2.6 billion a year. It's a record number.
I'm talking about the people watching the game.
Why do you think the contract is where it is?
I don't know. I've watched the game, but I still can't figure it out.
It's where it is because of the playoffs. The regular season is, in some ways, for the TV guys, a throwaway, even though ESPN's TV ratings for the NBA regular season actually have been the highest they've had in 7 years. But the playoff TV ratings are exponentially higher all the way through because now these are the games with stakes. So that's why the TV contract is where it is. That's why playoff games in each round, for the most part, not always, but for the most part, sell out. And in hockey, they all sell out. You don't like that.
What, that they sell out? No, I don't know. I don't see the... I guess the NBA ratings nationally are doing better. I just don't... I don't hear a lot of people talking about the NBA very much.
This is not an NBA area. And most part, to be honest with you, the NBA has incredible pockets, I mean, huge pockets of support in the cities and the suburbs. Not so much, you know, in general terms, not so much in rural areas. Now, we're not a completely rural area, but, you know, we're not, you know, we're, the Valley is a series of towns and communities. You know, our broadcast area goes from Williamsport over to near Hazleton, down near Harrisburg, swings back toward Lewistown. WKOK gets into State College. I mean, that's the broadcast area that we're talking to right now. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, I want to thank Doug in Wellsboro yesterday because Doug did send a note. I didn't get it till after the show that Danny Dalton was the fourth guy that's here early. So, Doug, thank you. Just want to recognize that. And so you're not going to get as much talk about it here. But now, and ESPN's going to talk about it inordinately because they put a lot of money into it. I mean, a lot of money into
it. Oh, they talk about it all the time.
But the ratings are really, really good. Especially when they get a little bit deeper into the playoffs, they really get to be good. And well, the NBA, right? The finals ratings are tremendous.
Yeah, but last year's finals ratings, I think, are skewed because of who was in it.
Yeah, but if the ratings have been like that almost every year the ratings have been like that. You've had Miami, San Antonio, you had Dallas, Miami.
I mean, Game 5 last year.
Golden State.
Game 5 last year was the best ratings that they got since it was on ABC.
Yeah, it was also more than double the World Series rating.
I think there's a problem. Yeah, but that's a baseball problem. And that's a different animal there. That's a baseball issue. Yeah.
But it's only second as a final rating in a championship game only to the NFL. So, but the playoffs are where they make the money. NHL playoffs where they make the money. Baseball, they're making more money now because of this. There's also more interest the way they've done it. You get an 8 seed in hockey. Well, an 8 seed in the odd thing is that 8 seed in the NBA can win the first round, but really struggles to get past the first round. You have not seen in the last 20 years an 8 seed get near the final. Yet in the NHL, you talk about the playoffs there, the LA Kings just won the Stanley Cup 2 years ago as an 8 seed. So what happens? Baseball, the two teams that played in the World Series when the Giants and the Royals played were both wild card teams. Neither one won the division. I know you hate this.
Well, here's what I think part of the issue is. Forbes did an article, and I remember it was in the spring last year, where baseball...
I'm impressed that you're reading Forbes.
That baseball was beating the NBA and the NHL playoffs. But it was in the local TV rankings, not necessarily on the national side.
Mm-hmm.
Which goes back to a point that I think you made a couple of days ago, or maybe it was last week, of how baseball is doing well regionally, but not necessarily nationally on television.
Yeah, that's been the case for a long time. Take, for example, I mean, the Pirates regional network. We're going to have Greg Brown, by the way, on the show next Wednesday. But their regional numbers are really good. Really good. Excellent ratings. I mean, same thing in hockey. I mean, the Penguins draw, I think, like a 5.960 rating locally. That's really, really good for the regular season. But you know who's number one? The Sabres. Penguins have been number one for the last 4 or 5 years. The Sabres are number one. And when it comes to regional networks really drawing in people, I'll tell you, the every time I go to Michigan, and I'm going to be in Michigan, obviously, Saturday and Sunday, they love the Red Wings. I mean, the Red Wings are the number one team in Michigan. There's no getting around it. They love that team more than any other team. They more than Michigan State basketball, more than Michigan football, more than Michigan State football, Michigan basketball, the Lions, the Pistons. I mean, the Pistons are like an afterthought. More than the Tigers. They love the Red Wings. You go into anywhere, any store, Red Wing this, Red Wing that, Red Wing this, Red Wing that. Go into Buffalo Wild Wings. The Red Wings are on 8 TVs. Okay, great.
Why hasn't that surpassed? Why hasn't the NHL been able to grow its television audience? In 14, I looked this up because I knew there was a Harris poll out, but I didn't remember when it came out. It's a little older than I thought it was. But in 14, 35% of all fans call the NFL their favorite sport. 14% mm-hmm. Major League Baseball. College football mm-hmm. was 11. Auto racing was 7. Now, the reason I question that is I think auto racing's numbers are down. The NBA was 6 and the NHL was 5 behind auto racing.
Yeah, but you know what? That's all changed.
The Daytona I believe so.
The Daytona 500 plummeted again this year, and I mean plummeted.
Yeah, I didn't see the numbers rating, for that.
The rating, the overnight ratings were down, I think, almost 10%. So that poll from 2011 is a little different. I think now, I think now the way it goes is the NFL's 1, college football's now 2, the NBA's 3. Major League Baseball's 4, I think.
And you are right, Steve. Ratings for Fox down 16%.
16%.
I'm trying to see what the details were, because I was looking for this the other day, and then I forgot about it.
Yeah, that's a great race. That was well-announced, yep. Well-covered, the whole thing. I mean, every single condition that would have brought you to the TV to watch it was there, and they still didn't do it.
I think there was one problem in that. Well, actually, I think there were 2 problems in that race, but I don't know if that affected the TV viewership that much. But Daytona 500 earned 6.1 overnight, down 16% from last year's 7.3. It was the second lowest overnight rating for the race since 08, when the overnight ratings first became available. 2 problems I saw with that race. 1, and I don't know if this affected the TV, the numbers long term, but 1, the pole sitter and in Elliott, and a guy that most people from racing's heyday will remember because of his dad Bill, he was out of the race early. I think that hurt a lot, and I think Dale Jr. getting knocked out of the race, and I think that was more toward the middle latter half of the race, hurt an awful lot, because when he left, I think there were a lot of TV sets that shut off.
I think the pole sitter going out meant nothing.
I think it was just because it was Elliott. I don't think it was because it was the pole sitter. I just meant it was because it was Elliott.
I don't think people know who he is.
No, he's Chase Elliott. He's in the 24. You know, Jeff Gordon's old ride. His dad's so popular.
That doesn't matter, okay? Walk down the street. Throw his name out, okay? Go into a Buffalo Wild Wings tonight. Throw his name out. See how many people know who he is.
Unfortunately, for the only 6.1 share that watched an outstanding finish. I mean, that was a great finish.
But again, they don't have, he's not a name.
That's very true. And when Dale Jr. got knocked out, that really hurt the ratings.
There's a name. Look, when I was at the Tax Slayer Bowl, and he came out for the coin toss, the place went insane. He's loved. Yes, I saw Dale Jr., okay?
Did you meet him?
We were a little busy.
Just asking.
So I told him to stay out of the booth.
You'll have to get out, please. Thank you.
No, you know what?
But I'm Junior.
You know what? You know what? Roger would have thrown him out.
Roger Corey might have made a move there.
Roger Corey one time threw out the university president because he didn't know who it was.
Oops.
We're trying to broadcast here. I'm like, I'm looking around like, what's the problem? Because you know me, I could care less. They could bring in the cast of American Idol. I'd be like, yeah, okay, fine. Everybody just find a spot. We're all good. I don't care. I could care less. I find out all this stuff later because it all happens behind me. And Jeff Tarman says,
"You won't believe what he did."
We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome. Great to have you back. I was looking at this list of most popular sports that they have here.
Right.
And this is a different group that did it. Number eight was wrestling.
Really?
And unfortunately, it's John Cena and it's the WWE. I'm not joking.
No, I know, because you know what the most popular up until last year? Do you know what the most popular show was on cable?
Yeah, WWE.
Right, followed by Monday Night Football. Followed by a Thursday night version of WWE.
Yeah. Motorsports, they had at number nine behind the WWE.
No, I agree. I think motorsports are going down in numbers.
They've got soccer here in America, number five, ahead of golf and tennis. And they say it's the fifth most popular. They have ice hockey, believe it or not, four now.
Wow. Must be that 3-on-3.
I think they have basketball number three, baseball two, and football one. That's what they've got. Now, part of it, too, is that you look at average attendance. Number one in average attendance among pro sports is the NFL. Major League Baseball is two, but in North America, the Canadian football is three. Then it's the NBA, NHL, like separated by a couple hundred. And then MLS is after that.